The Lord be with you. Some verses of scripture are read from Revelation 4. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his names. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. We are now going to stand and sing our first song, which is Sing to God a New Song. So please. Right, thank you. Please be seated. That sudden decelerando at the end caught us all by surprise, I think. So, we're the people of God, and the scripture reminds us that we still sin, and that we need to confess our failures, knowing that Jesus has died for us, and intercedes for us with the Father, who freely forgives us. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. And from further on in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. So let us draw near to God with sincerity and confidence and pray together. Heavenly Father, we have loved us with an everlasting love. But we have gone our own way and broken your laws in our thoughts, words and deeds, and in what we have failed to do. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to bring you honour and glory in all we do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's pray together the prayer of thanksgiving. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given, for life and health and safety, for work and rest and friendship, and for the wonder of creation. Above all, we praise you for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for your life-giving spirit, and the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us stand and say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We'll now sing our next song, I Stand Amazed in the Presence. Thank you. Please be seated. We'll now ask Sharon to come up and lead us in prayers for the world, community and the church.
Hope that's right. Good morning. I invite you to pray with me to our wonderful God. A prayer of praise and thanksgiving. We come today to you, Lord, with humility, thanks, and praise, reflecting on the wise words from the old, beautiful, and insightful hymn, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." Lord, we give you thanks and praise for the work of Jesus, his life, faithfulness, his teaching, his death, and especially the mystery of his resurrection. Indeed, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a privilege to come to you in prayer. We pray for our faith in Jesus. We are utterly dependent on our faith in you. Everything depends on you for our lives and our salvation. Whether our faith is immense or tiny and fragile, you have told us that it is enough as long as we turn to you and believe. Please give us faith and light to our path to continue our daily lives of following you. We at St. Giles are a small group, however, very faithful members of your larger church. Help us to know that it's not the size of our congregation that matters, it's the faith you have placed in our hearts that matters. Help us to realise that each and every one of us are precious to you and that we do make a difference in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Now prayers for our world. Thank you for this wonderful world, Lord. Thank you for your generosity of provision of water, food, air, shelter, the church, artisans, the oceans and seas filled with fish and creatures, the skies filled with mist or rainbows and clouds, or clear with stars and planets. Also for our homes, gardens and flowers, our pets, birds, rainforests, mountains and streams. The list has no limits, Lord, as you have no limits. Continuing with our hymn, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to you in prayer." Lord, how true it is that we often forfeit peace and we bear needless pain. Please help us to kneel at the foot of the cross daily and silently tell you our personal pain, the pain of our family and friends, and also our concern about the world's pain. Lord, let us pause and reflect on the horrific situation in the Ukraine. We offer up prayers for the 100,000 people trapped in Mariupol without food, water, heat or electricity. Also for the 6.5 million refugees who have fled to Europe. We pray earnestly for help and provision to be sent to all in need. We pray for peace to come to the Ukraine, for comfort for every single citizen, and for Russia to stop this senseless act of killing and atrocities. God of peace, we pray for both the Ukrainian and Russian leaders. Dear Heavenly Father, our hearts break and bleed upon hearing of another shooting in a school in Texas, USA. We grieve and mourn for the parents, friends and families, and the community so badly affected. God of all comfort, please, please hold out your arms in comfort and peace to these people. We pray for action to be taken by all leaders, especially the President Joe Biden, to make effective changes in the Lord, in the laws. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Closer to home, we pray for the newly elected government. Many thanks to you, Lord, for the privilege of our democracy here in Australia. It's not perfect, but enables us to live in great freedom. We uphold in prayer to you the new Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, and new Treasurer Jim Chalmers, for wise leadership and decisions, for integrity and financial wisdom, and to keep their election promises. Also for important relations with the South Pacific Islands, for peaceful and diplomatic dealings with China, for the urgent and extremely important climate change policies. Finally, dear Lord, we pray for the student ministers, missionaries, and all at St. Giles. Our congregation is so grateful for the teaching, participation and willingness of the student ministers from St Thomas's North Sydney. We have been truly enriched by these keen young preachers and encouraged by their knowledge and messages they have brought to us. We uphold Jackson, Jack, Nick, David and Jeremy in prayer. Please bless them with a long and fulfilled journey of ministry that brings much enrichment to the lives of fellow believers and also brings many people to faith in you. Lord, please help us to be faithful in prayer for Isaac Morrison, serving in Port Macquarie, for Sue and Richard Davies, serving with AIM, and especially for Julie Holmes, who is on her final days of preparation for work with CMS overseas. Please bless Julie's commissioning service and with joy and great encouragement. Lord, we continue to pray for relief and healing for Graham Lowther, Vernon Ireland, Margaret Roberts, currently in hospital, Fleur Fowler and Murray Holmes. Also for David Lupton, who's only 2 years old and struggling with some very bad health. Finally, thank you, Lord, for answered prayer that Eric, our dear minister, has been able to enjoy a month of rest and relaxation. Please bless his last week of holidays and bring him back refreshed to us, ready to answer all our questions. Help us to always remember what a friend we have in Jesus and that we will find a solace there. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Please join with me in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
At this point in the service, we have a section called The Spot, which can be almost anything, but for the last 4 weeks, and now for this week, is inviting our visiting minister to come forth and tell us a little bit about themselves, how they got here, so we get to know you before you teach to us. So, Jeremy, come on down. So, obviously, you're Jeremy.
Yes, my name is Jeremy.
Excellent, thank you. How did you get here? Please don't tell you drove and parked, because that's already been used. So, what was your path that brought you to here?
Yeah, well, first of all, my parents are up here. Mum and Dad, Russell and Vivian, they grew up here at St Giles.
Right.
So, we've got a special connection here. It's a great privilege to be able to preach here this morning. But personally, I'm currently studying at Moore College. And I'm not actually doing student ministry at St Thomas's, but I'm working part-time at the moment and I'm kind of funding myself through at the moment, and I'm thinking about doing student ministry next year, still working it out. Just love having opportunities to teach God's word and work on being able to preach it to others.
Well, in which case, welcome back to St Giles.
Thank you.
Sit down, we'll have a song and a few readings, and then you're on. Thank you, please be seated. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and for showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word, so that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And Hayley will now come and read out the Bible readings.
The first reading is Isaiah 6:8-13. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of this people dull, and stop their ears, and shut their eyes, so that they may not look with their eyes, and listen with their ears, and comprehend with their minds, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord? and he said, until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is utterly desolate, until the Lord sends everyone far away, and vast is the emptiness in the midst of the land. Even if a tenth part remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains standing when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. The next reading is Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 34. The parables. Again, he began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there, while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. He began to teach them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, since it had no depths of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil, and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing, and yielding 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he said, let anyone with ears to hear listen. When he was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables, and he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may perceive, look, but not perceive, and may indeed listen, but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy, but they have no root, and endure only for a while. Then, when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. A lamp under the bushel basket. He said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under the bushel basket or under the bed and not on the lampstand? For there is nothing hidden except to be disclosed, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Let anyone with ears to hear listen. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given to you. For to those who have, more will be given, and from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The parable of the growing seed. He said also, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come. The parable of the mustard seed. He also said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. The use of parables. With many such parables he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Right, so, Jeremy, you're on. Wherever you like. Traditionally here.
So good. Excellent. Yeah, well, good morning again. My name is Jeremy. I will take my mask off. Thanks for that. So thanks again for the opportunity to preach God's word this morning. It's a great privilege to be here. Sweet. So today's passage is all about listening to God's word. I wonder if you've ever been in a situation where you weren't listened to. I remember there was a time when I was about 14 or 15. I ordered pizza from a Domino's pizza over the phone. And the Domino's pizza checkout person asked me for a name for the order. And I replied with my surname, Fox. Soon after the call was done, I made my way to the Domino's pizza shop. And when I arrived and walked into the Domino's, there at the top of the computer screen, which lists the orders and the time left until they're ready, was socks. S-O-C-K-S. And when I realised that this was my order, I found it a bit funny, but also a little embarrassing. I thought my surname wasn't that hard to spell. Now, I'm sure if you were given time, you could also recall a similar situation that's happened to you. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's funny, and the other person doesn't listen to you, and the whole thing turns into a funny, non-consequential story to remember at odd times, like when you need to come up with an introduction for a sermon you're preaching. But sometimes it's funny, but sometimes it's serious. Our world is full of people who feel that they haven't been listened to. People like Black Lives Matter, our political activists, and the announcers at train stations when they have to call out for the 10th time, please stand behind the yellow lines. There's people everywhere, but I'm not talking about a situation that involves mere misunderstanding, where the other person hears what you say, but misunderstands it. I'm talking about when they hear what you say, they hear it, they comprehend what you say, and you know it, but they just don't listen. They forget, or they get distracted. It's frustrating when this happens, and I'm sure you can relate. Well, the passage that we're looking at this morning is kind of like this situation. God, the ruler of the most impressive kingdom in the world, calls people to join by listening and obeying his son Jesus, and yet so many ignore him. The main point for today's talk is listen and pay attention to God's word. First of all, here are some photos from when Mum and Dad got married here. Thought it was special. So the main point is listen and pay attention to God's word. But before I continue, I'll quickly pray, asking God to help me as I preach. Please pray with me. Dear God, thank you for your word, which is a light to our feet. Please help me teach faithfully and truthfully, and help all of us listen and pay attention to your word this morning. Please help all of us accept the life found in Jesus and reject sin which leads to death. Amen. Excellent. Well, that brings me to the first point this morning, which is listen to the word. Listen to the word. The first parable, the parable of the sower, is one that I'm sure that you've heard before. So the parable is about a sower sowing seed on the ground, and the seed ends up in different types of soil. Some on a path, some in shallow soil, some in thorny soil, and some in good soil. A parable is a story with a deeper spiritual meaning behind it. Jesus taught in parables to persuade people to think deeper about deeper things. By contrasting good listening with bad listening, Jesus is teaching what proper listening is like. But before he explains the parable to his disciples, he quotes from a confronting passage from the Old Testament, from a book called Isaiah. I'll read it out for us. It's there in verse 11 and 12. You might want to read in your Bibles, verses 11 and 12. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those on the outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may look but not perceive. They may indeed listen but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven." The Bible says that there are two types of people. Those who live in the kingdom of God with Jesus as their King and Saviour, and there are those who live in the dark. This confronting quote, this prophecy from the book of Isaiah, which we read out before, Isaiah 6, is explaining that Jesus' parables do two things at the same time. Firstly, they make the reality of the kingdom of God clearer to some people, but they also blind and deafen those who continue to live in sin and reject God. In Isaiah's day, 700 years before Jesus, God was doing this inside the kingdom of Israel with Isaiah's teaching and prophecy. God was gathering a small remnant inside Israel. Remnant just means small minority. God was gathering a small minority of people who really trusted him with everything. And he's still gathering this group of people today. Now, from not just in the kingdom of Israel, but now from every single nation in the world. Thankfully, we get to listen to the explanation that only the disciples heard that day. But the purpose of this confronting prophecy is to show that the power is in God's word. The power is in God's word. Being given the secret of the kingdom of God is a gift and a privilege. And it also, this prophecy also reveals the unseen work that God has been doing across the world for thousands of years. God changes hearts one by one so that they start following Jesus as their King. And this work of heart renewal is one which we also need to participate in with all our strength. We need to listen to God's word rather than let our hearts be hardened towards it. Now let's look at Jesus' explanation of the parable. Starting in verse 14. So in verse 14, I'll read it out for us. The sower sows the word. So there's a sower sowing the word, and that this is God providentially making sure that the gospel is proclaimed in lots and lots of different places, like it's happening right now. And verse 15 says that the seed on the path represents people who hear the gospel, but then forget it right away. And Jesus explains that this is because the devil, Satan, steals the gospel away before they're able to believe it. Verses 16 and 17 is about seed sown in the rocky, shallow soil. These verses describe the response of fair-weather Christians. People who believe the gospel when things are easy, but then stop when they encounter persecution from unbelievers. They're like fair-weather sports fans who stop supporting a club when they start losing. And verse 18 is about seeds sown in thorny soil. Like the seeds sown in shallow soil, they initially respond in a good way. But then three things trouble and distract them. Firstly, the cares of the world. Secondly, the love of riches. And thirdly, the desire for other things. All these things distract and choke the person so that they don't produce any fruit. They don't tell people about Jesus because they're distracted. Dick Lucas, a previous senior minister of St. Helens Bishopsgate in London, once noted that these three bad soils represent the three enemies in the Christian life: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And finally, verse 20. Verse 20 describes the good soil, which is very receptive to the gospel and produces a lot of fruit. Some more than others, but each one a lot. The good soil represents those people who truly listen. I want you to think for a moment of a university or college classroom for a moment. I'm in quite a few classrooms at Moore College, and I think we can apply this sower parable in a small way to the classroom, but let's make it a specific type of classroom. Let's imagine that it's a classroom teaching pilots how to fly. You know, a picture of a plane? So the students, who are like the seeds sown on the path, are the ones who don't turn up. Students, like the seeds sown in the shallow soil, are the ones who persevere for a bit, but then drop out before census day. Students who are like the seeds sown in thorny soil are ones who turn up, but they get very distracted, looking out the window or browsing the internet or live streaming sport while the lectures are on. And finally, there are the good students who are like the good soil and who they listen. And they note down stuff and they make sure that their assignments get in on time. Now, I want to make sure that as a student, I can empathise with all four types of these students, so I don't think that I'm better than any of them. But let's just imagine the consequences for pilots who don't turn up to learn, or who are so distracted that they barely learn anything. You wouldn't want to travel in a plane that they were piloting. It would have disastrous consequences. So let's think about the application for this passage. I think the question to ask yourself, the question to ask myself, is which kind of soil am I right now? Which kind of soil am I right now? Am I the good soil? Now, it's worth saying that all of us aren't perfect. We all struggle with the lies that cause us to doubt the gospel, and we struggle with the temptations of the shallow and thorny soil. God doesn't ask us to be perfect, but he asks us to learn. He asks us to listen. But life and death are on the line, like pilots learning how to fly. If we don't listen to God's word, we won't be prepared to speak with God after we pass away and see him face to face. So I want to ask you, are you listening to God's word? What is your heart attitude towards God's word? And that brings us to the second point, which is pay attention to God's word. Pay attention to God's word. I want to read out a couple of verses, so verses 24 to 25. Verses 24 to 25. And Jesus said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given to you. For to those who have, more will be given, and from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away." This second parable expands on the idea of the good soil. And it makes clear that it makes clear what it looks like to listen properly to God's word. Proper listening isn't merely intellectual, comprehending and appreciating the message of the Bible, but proper listening is about paying attention and changing the way we live. Verses 21 to 22 are a bit complicated, but in them, Jesus is, so this is the bit where it's talking about the lamp being put under a basket. In them, Jesus is talking about how the purpose of the parables is to actually reveal truth, not hide it. Parables test hearing. It's very easy to dismiss one of Jesus' parables, but for those who listen carefully, for those who pay attention, there is much gold to be gained. I want you to imagine for a moment if we were alive during the Australian gold rush in the 1850s and following. Imagine for a moment you decided to join in the hunt for gold. It would make sense to bring big containers to store any gold you find. But imagine if you only turned up with the pockets in your shorts. You wouldn't be able to take home any sizable gold nuggets that if you found any. So let's read verse 24 again. And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given to you." When Mark talks about the measure you give, he is talking about how much we listen to God's word. If we listen a lot, we will get a lot. If we listen little, we will come away with little. The bigger your measure, the more you listen to the gospel, the more opportunities will open up to you. So, pay attention to God's word. Bring a big measure when you listen to God's word. And that brings me to the third point, Point number three, the word-built kingdom of God. Point number three, the word-built kingdom of God. I'm just going to read out a few verses. Verses 26 to 27, and then verses 30 to 32. So firstly, verses 26 and 27. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground, and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, and he knows not how." And then skipping down to verse 30. He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, bringing forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nest in its shade." So, these next couple of parables are about the kingdom of God. The parable of the growing seed expands on the parable of the sower, and it's about the spiritual growth of the kingdom of God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's gradual and beyond us. Verses 27 to 29, describe the gradual process of spiritual growth. At every point in the progress of growth of the grain, it's beyond the knowledge of the farmer as to how the growth happens. He just puts the seed on the ground, and then it grows. The grain grows without him having to do anything. The next parable compares the kingdom of God with a mustard tree. A mustard seed is tiny. I think I've got a picture here. So this is comparing the mustard seed with a penny. You can see it's absolutely tiny. And yet, when it grows into a mustard tree, which is massive. Apparently, it grows very fast as well. When it grows to be huge and bigger than all the trees of vegetation nearby. So it's the biggest tree of vegetation in the places where it grows. And this picture of a huge mustard tree with birds perching in it is a picture of the eternal kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a kingdom which provides shade and provision for all who seek shade, for all who rest in its branches. The kingdom of God seems insignificant to the world, and yet it is what God considers most precious and important in all of creation. It's amazing. I wonder if you've ever played sardines as a kid. You can't really read that, but there you go, that's the WikiHow article. I wonder if you've ever played sardines as a kid. Sardines is a game of reverse hide and seek. So with hide and seek, one person hides, and then everyone playing has to find that person, and the first person who finds them is the winner, and then they hide, and then you keep playing. With sardines, it's the opposite. So someone hides, but then the aim is to find that person and then join in with them, and then you hide as well. And the aim is to be not the last person to find the person who hid. That's how sardines work. Well, the kingdom of God is like a worldwide game of sardines. But Jesus is the person we need to find. Jesus, the hidden but resurrected, alive forever king, he is the person we need to find. And the thing about this game of sardines is we're all on the same team. So we're not trying to sneakily find that person and be the first one and then and be the winner. We're all together. We're all in it together. And it's our job as Christians, those already in the kingdom of God, those who have found the risen and resurrected King Jesus, to help others find Jesus by sharing the gospel as well. I wonder if you can think of a few people in your life who you try and share the gospel with. Maybe someone at work. Maybe someone near where you live. Maybe someone in your family. Thinking about sharing the gospel can be scary. It's easy to overthink what other people think about us. And everyone who is following Jesus knows that the gospel is offensive. The gospel, the good news about Jesus, says that we are worse than we can possibly imagine. And no one wants to be a bad person. However, While it's offensive, it also offers forgiveness from sin, a new born-again life, and the assurance of eternal life. I reckon it's a good idea to come up with a thoughtful plan before attempting to share the word of God with others. Recently, I wrote in the front of the Gospel of John's Gospel, wrote in the front of a copy of John's Gospel, and gave it to a barista named Dominic at one of the local cafes in Newtown. I'd already spoken with him a couple of times, but I didn't really get to say everything that I wanted to say about Jesus. And so what I did was I wrote in the front of the cover of John's Gospel and was able to highlight all the positives of the Gospel that I wanted Dominic to hear. And I also wrote down John 3, 16 and 17. I wrote it out at the end, and I included my mobile number in case he wanted to ask questions. He's since moved on from the cafe, and I haven't properly spoken with him since, but I'm really glad that I got to give him that. And actually, I've actually brought lots of copies of John's Gospel as well. So if you want to come up to me afterwards and grab one of these copies for free, so that you can also do the same thing, please do so. So, in conclusion, the kingdom of God is invisible to the world's eyes, and yet it's undeniably real. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed in the world's eyes, insignificant. But in the eyes of the Creator, it's like a massive mustard tree, providing shade and rest for all who decide to take shelter. The kingdom of God is advanced by the loving grace of God as His word is communicated from person to person. If we are in Christ, we are a part of God's eternal kingdom, which He has been building since He created the world. So, let's pray and ask God to help us remain receptive to His word, living each day in light of the good news of Jesus, ready to share the gospel in every opportunity God gives us. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for the gift of your word, which helps us to see the unseen reality of the kingdom of God and gives us eternal hope. Please let us listen to your. Please help us listen to your word and produce fruit for your kingdom. Please help us pay attention, coming with big measures when we read the Bible or hear it preached. Please remind us of the eternal nature of your kingdom and help us live each day considering Christ's eternal rule. And thinking about this coming week and into the future, please help all of us make the most of every opportunity to tell others about Jesus. Amen.
Well, thank you, Jeremy, for fresh eyes, a fresh angle on a story that's 2,000 years old. Never thought of Christianity as a game of sardines, but there's a lot of truth in that. So, thank you. Now, in BC, before COVID, this would be our offertory hymn. We don't do that no more. We don't pass things around and give each other germs. Most of us contribute to the work of the church electronically. If you feel that you want to, and there's no compulsion, to dig your hand in a pocket and put some money in a tray, the tray's at the back door on the way out. So let us stand and sing together, My Hope Is Built. Thank you. Please be seated while Mark comes forth and gives us the notices.
Good morning, everyone. Couple of notices about next week's service. There's going to be a baptism for Albert Tom Wood, who is the son of Emma Wood, who is the daughter of Merle Wood. So there's a connection there. So that's next week. Also, next week is Pentecost. I preempted it by wearing a bit of red today. Maybe we can all wear a bit of red next week on Pentecost. One slide forward. Julie's commissioning service is happening on the 25th of June. Anyone who would like to go is welcome to go and support Julie. There's a little pamphlet out on the desk outside if you want to grab one of those to remind you of when it's on. I think I'm pretty sure Sharon's going, and she's going to say a prayer for her while she's there. So, and it would be nice if a whole bunch of us could attend for Julie and support her. Eric's back next week, and he will do all the announcements for upcoming birthdays then. And also we have one that we're going to continue to celebrate, because Judy's major birthday was, well, a birthday ending in zero was last week, so we'll celebrate that next week or the week after. Anyone else have any notices? No. Thanks, Paul.
No. Let's say together this final prayer. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit, and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.
Going in peace also involves assembling outside for morning tea, so let us go.